Hello and welcome to Bros Knows Best.
Review pod.
Testy Pop. Hosted by me, Ben Charlesworth, and my brother Scott Charlesworth. And we've got a special guest. Another Testy Pop.
Hell yeah.
Curtis McGarity, resident sexologist for this podcast. Wow, it's going to be really hard to get used to saying Bros Knows Best.
Fuck, that was such a bad intro.
Instead of butts nuts.
Hang on.
Oh, he's got to take a beer sip.
Let me run that back. Yeah, Kurt, I didn't give you the introduction that you deserved. Let's do that again.
That was so anti-climactic.
We'll keep all this in, but let's do that again. Okay. Everything that we've said, we'll keep in.
Oh, I love it. I'm inspired.
We'll keep the Bros Knows Best. I think I was good up to that point. Yep. I said movie review podcast.
No, start again. Full thing. Just go again.
What's up, you fucks? It's Bros Knows Best. We're a movie review podcast. This is my brother. What a fucking sick cunt.
Yeah.
And we got mad sick cunts in here too.
Hell yeah.
His name starts with Curtis and ends with McGarity. He is a sexologist, a Pearl Jam aficionado, and an all-round good bloke. It's Curtis McGarity.
Thank you very much. I feel honored to be here to review the greatest film of all time.
That was spectacular. That was very good. Well done.
Well, after two testy pops, I really had to redeem myself.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I didn't want our... I mean, we've got a new name now.
We do have a new name. It's official. We have moved away from butts to nuts. Now we are Bros Knows Best.
What do you think of the new name?
I think it's a great name because it matches you two perfectly. Big honkers. By that, I mean noses. And we're going to get into a lot of honker-related stuff today.
So much honking.
You know. Mainly noses. They got their bros.
Allegedly.
They say.
Well, you know, that's the ultimate thing right there. That was a seal of approval. We needed your sexologist expertise to say, yes, that's it going forward.
And I don't know what episode you came on, but you came hard.
I did. And it was pre-video era. So this is real OG stuff.
It was actually before we even showed our faces. No,
we had the balaclavas.
Yeah, it was when we were doing balaclavas. And then we got you to wear a balaclava, and there was a video of you in your Louis Theroux shirt.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah, that's ages back.
Wow.
I don't even know where that shirt is.
We should bring that out of the woodworks.
It's probably in the bushes somewhere. in some, like, park. Don't know why.
Bro's been sleeping in the bushes.
He's just used it as a grease rag and just thrown it into the bush.
Cum rag.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of cum rags, we got to talk about the first movie that you came on for this podcast for. 50 Shades of Grey.
The original. First film in this. Is it a trilogy?
Mm-hmm. It is a trilogy. Released in 2013, the first one.
15, actually.
Wait, the first one?
First one, 2015. Oh! This one, 2017. Next one. 2018.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Wow.
So 17 and 18 were two good years. We had back to back sex in the cinemas, man.
Sex in the cinemas.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Initial thoughts, Kurt. How was your initial reaction to this movie compared to the first one?
I think it was a little better than the first one. I think just slightly a smidge.
Yeah.
The dialogue. Still not there. Like, it's a bit weird. There's definitely scenes where it's like, this is not how real people talk to each other.
Not at all.
Even if they want to have sex, I feel like we're not going to have the same lines that you see this guy say to this chick.
Just every single time. He does repeat a lot of stuff. And there is a lot of samey dialogue that gets thrown around in it where it's just like, no person in a regular conversation is going to be throwing this stuff out. It's just, it's just overacted almost in some parts.
I disagree. I feel like the dialogue's really realistic. Like when I used to play a hentai game called Crush Crush, and that dialogue actually feels very realistic. That's where all my relationship experiences come from.
Yeah. I grew up on it as well.
Yeah, grew up on that. And I've never spoken to a woman, so we're living large.
We're qualified to speak on this, right? We know.
No, women are scary, man.
Especially the woman in this film. Dakota. Our main character.
Yeah.
Dakota has two emotions, two ways of speaking. It's either, really soft, or it's her, like, just yelling at the top of her lungs at Christian.
Legit.
So,
wow.
Like, she has no And look, it's probably just down to the actor.
Yeah.
Or the actress, sorry. But it's also the writing. Like, she's written...
Yeah.
Just with either, like, sexy mode or girl boss, I'm angry mode.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I mean, she slays.
Oh, she absolutely slays in this movie, yeah.
She does become a girl boss. She gets the boss's job.
She does become a girl boss.
Yeah, what a boss bitch.
All right. Do you guys want to hear the synopsis for this movie?
I would love nothing more. Now,
I've written my own synopsis. Wow. I've taken a point out of Malcolm's book.
Malcolm McPherson.
We've done it, which we will get him on the podcast, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But, I just went for it. Okay, rate it. Give me your honest rating. Okay. Hardcore.
I'm going to be brutal with
Please
it.
Please be brutal.
This is hard.
After a I'm year hard. From a saucy man, a woman again hooks up with a saucy man. Helicopters, betrayal, incestual fetishes, and more. Seattle? I think that was pretty good, honestly, for my first synopsis.
I really like the end.
Yes.
I really like the start. I kind of tuned out in the middle there.
Yeah. I heard helicopters and I just flew away mentally.
Yeah. But you took me to the scene a little
That's
bit too
fair
much.
Enough. I respect that. That's
understandable. It was a saucy woman and a saucy man.
Yes.
Wait, can I hear the first line?
Oh,
one more
yeah,
time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was after a year from a year away from a saucy man, again, a woman hooks up with a saucy man. Helicopters, betrayal, incestual fetishes, and more. Zach, that pretty much sums up what the movie is.
It's pretty true. I mean,
there's
it could
not
be...
much more substance to this movie than that. I just gave you the key points and basically just dished it out to you.
I really like Seattle.
Yeah.
Because I was questioning. Sure. So, I mean, sometimes we weren't in Seattle, though. Sometimes we were in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fair.
So that's where the question mark comes into it.
Where she yelled for that security guard. What the fuck was his name? It was a unisex name. I remember that.
Yeah. Taylor.
Taylor. Yeah.
That's it.
Fucking Taylor, bro.
Yeah.
Go away, Taylor.
Go away,
See, that was girl boss mode.
True. Either breathy or girl boss.
Yeah. And then she went, she was girl boss, she walked off. And then immediately it was sad girl because it was raining and she was moping and walking around for like a whole night.
In the extremely fake rain, pretty much.
And then, like, she gets back.
Yeah.
And Christian's like, where the fuck have you been?
Yeah.
Like, is that really the normal reaction for this?
It's like, oh, I thought you were dead. Like,
well, I suppose she did nearly get shot.
She did.
By a crackhead, yeah.
The crackhead. Well, I kind of love the crackhead.
That is, yeah.
Before we... hot.
Get to all of this.
Yes, yes.
Can we please, for the love of all of Christian Gay, I was about to say, Christian Grey.
For the love of Christian Gay. Continue.
What was the plot of the first film? Because fuck me, I cannot remember.
It was basically, lady gets job at new place. Office meets this guy.
Was it at his? Did she get a job at?
Yeah, because he was her boss.
And
then
really?
He's like, you know, you want to come back to mine and smash? And then she's like, yeah, sure, why not? Finds out he's like a dominant sadist guy. I'm not a dom, I'm a sadist. Quote from this movie.
So hot.
And then basically, smash goes too far, but they secretly want each other. And then after a year, they find each other in this movie. It's the first one is the plot is like nothing, but this one, I have to give it a bit of merit. It turned it up a nug.
All right. Much. Well, then I'll ask both of you.
Yeah, please.
What was the plot of this film?
Oh, it's a hard one. Basically, it was hard. A woman who says she'll never get back with this guy gets back with this guy, proceeds to marry him within like. Do they even tell us a specific period of time?
I'm going
to
say
like it's a few
month.
Weeks.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
A few weeks later, they're
that was
married.
Insane.
How does it even end? Honestly, it's the plot ending pissed me off, kind of.
It ended with him proposing to her in the Turkish bathhouse.
Yes.
Then she said, oh my God, yes. And then it cut to her old boss, that Jack dude, the blonde dude.
Yeah.
And he's burning a hole of Christian Grey, like a photo.
It's a cliffhanger.
Oh,
it's a cliffhanger where he is going to try and get in between their marriage.
Yeah. And we also have the crazy bitch, the blonde haired one that abused Christian Grey as a child.
She was blonde. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's too many crazy bitches. They're all in this film.
Yeah, there was three sub plots as well, wasn't there?
Beautiful.
There was
that was so good.
Well, fuck it. Let's just talk about the crackhead woman. I can't
finally.
I can't around the fact that it is not
we
dive
have
into
crackhead
that.
Women.
Bro, I just want to be sleeping in bed and have a crackhead woman sneak into my apartment, man.
And just pull a revolver on me.
It's like, fuck. Yeah, that whole plot line of the plot line of Christian Grey having like a thing for women that look like his mother.
Yeah.
That was fucked up. That confirmed
the
sadist thing. That absolutely confirmed that.
It's so fucked. Like, the whole plot of both films is pretty fucked up, so it's kind of on market for what it is.
Well, yeah, exactly. It really just dives into the explicit. No, it's not, you know what? It's not as explicit as the first one, but it's more suggestive in a way, I would say. There are points where it's very explicit.
I don't know. The first one.
The first one's more brutal.
Did I have pussy slapping?
I don't know. We saw.
The first one
saw
did.
So much in this film.
This one, I don't know. I counted 4 sex scenes and 2. And 2 half sex.
Okay,
scenes.
Fair enough. But it's basically just a movie. It's not a movie for the plot. It's not a movie for
it's
the plot.
It's not a movie for the weak of legs, because you see eating out in this film. You see pussy beads, which I didn't know were a thing.
They were like, they were balls though. They were like massive
balls.
Spherical.
They were like man-sized balls.
P. Diddy oil and hand
color. Yeah, the baby oil was deep in this
There
film.
Is the Diddy oil. Yeah. I wonder where that case will be by the time this podcast comes out.
I don't know, but I'm sure these actors are all involved.
new developments, yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, the whole of Hollywood.
Actually, technically, it's a legal case currently still active, so I'm going to say allegedly.
Shout out.
That's a smart man.
Huge.
It is all alleged.
Yeah, it's all... Yeah.
As a sexologist, we can't confirm nor deny where Diddy's penis has been.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking more on that and your expertise, Kurt, were there any things in the sex scenes in this movie where you went, yep, I've seen that before, I've dealt with that issue? You know, especially when...
As a sexologist, yes.
You know, yeah. I mean, especially, you know... Coming into some of the parts where, you know, she's changing as a character as well. And then he's like, whoa, my development is like, I'm not like the king of the house anymore.
Yeah.
He
lets her be an equal kind of in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Now, that's what
the progression
the
of his
says.
Character.
That's what he says. He's happy to do that.
Yeah.
But then the very next scene, he gets out like, pole which straps her legs wide open and then fucking flips her around like a Beyblade, you know? So the plot
and lets her
rip. Doing.
Yeah.
But the sex was pretty good. So
what about when that pole thing came out and you're like, ah, that's not that bad, and then it extends out. You're like, well, there we go. It's
like
a step up.
It's like Darth Maul. You know, he's fucking got the double ended lightsaber out to keep her legs open. Like, okay.
But I guess
it's full on.
It's not that crazy because she was probably going to have her legs open anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that, you know, Christian's got this contraption in his red room.
I guess he has control if she can close it or not.
Yeah,
so.
I guess so. Can we talk about the music, how bad it was?
I'm glad you brought this up.
Every single sex scene had some of the worst music ever played that I've ever... My ears were bleeding at the end of this movie.
It was like
it was
a classic 2010s Netflix series type of music.
It was fun.
But it just wasn't good. It was like, it was just stereotypical for this type of film.
Mm.
And like you're sitting there and you just have to endure this ear blasting noise whilst these two people are having sex in front of you. It's just a bad experience. You know, it's like being in a fucking elevator with like 10 people and someone farts. That's how I would describe the audio of the sex scenes.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like being in an elevator with like 10 people and then someone gets fingered. You know what I'm saying?
Like, exactly like the film in this, the scene with the elevator.
The best sexual scene in the movie that was. That one. Because that was cheeky. That was a little bit cheeky.
Oh,
it was.
But we say there was shit music, but there was two good music
moments.
There were two good music moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number one, there was the police playing when he was doing the workout.
That's true.
I mean, not that workout was... music, but I can't remember what police song it was.
It was So Lonely.
So Lonely.
And he was doing pull-ups to the police.
That's right.
Police pull-ups. Yeah.
I think you even mentioned you'd rather listen to Pantera when you're at the gym.
Yeah, it's not like it's not the hard driving kind of music that you'd listen to in the gym. But yeah. I mean, it was alright. It could have been worse. It could have been like P. Diddy.
True. Yeah, it could have been playing the Puff Daddy on the mic over there. But no, yeah, it was is definitely like not the sort of pump up music that you'd assume that Christian Grey would be into. But hey, you know, he likes the Police. You got to give him that brownie point there.
Yeah.
Also, though, Van Morrison, Moondance, when that played in this movie as well.
When did that play?
At some point in the movie. I can't remember which scene. But it did play, and I looked it up, and I saw, didn't even know this, Michael Bublé did a cover of that song. And it's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
actually.
Shout out Michael Bublé.
Just like, Bublé. Pearl Jam made covers as well.
Yep.
We won't discuss this. I've yelled at Scott already.
That's already in the recording. I'm keeping that. I'll put that at the end of the podcast. It's too good. I can't knock it.
There was one other good moment of music.
Please.
And it was at the masquerade party. The weird Diddy party.
Mm-hmm.
And... It was that jazz singer, that dude singing that song. He was good.
Yeah, he was a Sinatra clone.
He was good.
He was a Sinatra pretty clone.
Pretty classic for like for the party. It made sense.
Yeah,
a bunch of rich people, and you've got a dude singing kind of like Sinatra-y songs.
Yeah, the elite. Like he was just appeasing to the elite, pretty much there.
As a music man yourself, well, I know when you're not studying heavy sex, you are dabbling in music.
Yes.
How do you rate, you know, his soft, somber tones?
No, 10 out of 10. And it's perfect for this film because they're doing sex and he is doing sexy sounds. I think that's what you should have heard during the sex scenes was like some Frank Sinatra jazzy type of music.
Yeah, it's more romantic. Like, it's more subtle. Yeah.
It was like mouth sexing the mic almost.
Can we talk about the fucking beat drop? Into when he ran into Dakota Johnson. That was the most absurd thing.
Which was that?
That was the last sex scene too. Oh.
Was that the last one in the red room?
I remember that vividly. And they went into the red room and then she's down there and it's like, all right. 2010s, it was, oh man, that just, we were just all cackling, just completely losing our shit. That was peak cinema right there. There's nothing better than that. it's not improving. It's literally all downhill from 2017.
Yeah,
not even Endgame can come close to that sort of stuff.
No. Martin Scorsese couldn't come close.
Eat your heart out.
Yeah, that was too good. Do you have any quotes for us? I know you're fucking scribbling down quotes like every 2 seconds.
You betcha I was. I actually came up with a segment for this as well.
Okay.
Christian quotes.
Christian quotes. That's
for a very Christian movie. Okay, first one was a text that he sent through, Dream of Me. Then you said grease on me because you couldn't read.
I was like, what is that saying?
Fucking grease on me?
Well, what would you think if someone asked you to dream of them?
I probably would do it. it would be sexy.
It would be very sexy.
I hope someone will say that to me.
I'd do it to the beat drop of like a hardstyle song or something, you know? Something real outrageous.
Yeah, I like that. That's awesome.
All right, give me another one, bitch.
Okay, so we had ass. Really? Yeah. Ass.
What? What?
We need context.
Yeah, what was the context of that?
I can't remember the scene, but it just was ass, comma, really? And then it was like, yeah, and then ass.
Oh, was that where she was like, are these for my ass, the beads?
Pussy beads. Wait, are we classifying them as beads? Because I feel like beads are smaller than this.
No, they're big beads. A bead can be big.
I feel like because we all instinctively thought they were anal beads when we first saw them.
Or vagina spheres.
Maybe. Nah, you're getting
that's
too
a bit more wholesome.
True. I mean, as a sexologist.
What's the technical term?
I would definitely say you would call them pussy beads.
Pussy beads. Okay. All right. We'll run with pussy beads then.
Vaginal sphericals.
It's a bit grotesque, but there you go.
Yeah. All right.
But we'll so is anal beads.
Well, they're both grotesque. I mean, if you're using either of those, you're you're going out there hard.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a bit of a filthy bugger.
Well, they're leaving more some in room. There, but yes.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Lots in there.
We have another one. I don't know whether to worship you at your feet or spank you.
Yes, yeah. I did have that one, yeah.
Yeah. And we have a couple more. Oh, yeah, obviously. Where the fuck have you been? Mm. And also, take off your panties. Yeah, right here in the restaurant.
Oh, that's right.
That was insane. And then he just like just grabs them.
I thought he was just going to grab them and just sniff them.
Yeah, really thought he was going to put it up to his nose. And he just grabs them and he's like... It's like the meme where the guy runs up and just like eats the sandwich. But it's just him. He just grabs it and eats the fucking panties.
Oh, what, from Monster House? Yeah, 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 just yeah. Eats. Yeah. He just full on just stares her in the eyes and just straight face just eats it. Just no reaction.
But in the film, I think he just puts it, he just grabs it and he just like puts it in his pocket or something. Just,
I'll like, save that for later. A little midnight snack.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Ziploc bag that for my lunch tomorrow, I guess.
Oh,
be
man.
Be more funny if you like went to flick it at the waiter or something as the waiter looked by. So it's like, ah, I'm rich, you're not.
Yeah.
Flicks his girlfriend's panties.
Poor guy.
What about the plot point of the helicopter at the
I've
end of the movie?
I've got more quotes, bitch.
Oh, you've got more quotes, please.
Let's
yeah.
fucking fight.
Yeah. Quote me up.
No. Yeah. The helicopter. Let's talk about the helicopter.
The helicopter.
Because I got a quote from the helicopter.
Okay, I like that. What an insane part of the movie. Just randomly thrown in there. Just a little action mystery thing. And then suddenly he turns up after a helicopter crash. I'm safe. What the fuck happened to the helicopter? And how did you get back from Canada?
And there was the black girl who also was there in the plane. And you don't hear anything about her.
How did they survive that? Like, you just see the helicopter going down. Pretty much like, sorry, buddy. You're not going to land this. Helicopters don't land like this. They land like this.
But also, speaking of that chick, when it's going down, she's like, what is happening? Are you fucking stupid? What do you think's happening? You're going to die.
Except they don't.
Well, they don't. And he walks into the apartment with fucking scratches on him.
Yeah.
And then the next scene, he's fine. He's just Christian Grey again.
Christian Grey missing. Walks through the door. Hey, I'm here. I'm all right.
Yeah.
How did he get there?
How the fuck did he get there without anyone noticing?
He's a billionaire. If he caught the train or the plane or whatever, people would know.
He's like, I leave it to the mystery. I'm not calling from a payphone. I'm just going to get to my house and just surprise everybody.
You know what? The main thing that annoys me about that is that this is definitely more evidence that this chick, the writer of this film, has the mindset of a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah, like, yeah, pretty
they
much.
They were like, oh, we need to have... basically a rise, a climax in the film, and then the ending.
Yeah.
Yes, it's sexual, but that's just how films are written. You got to have like a kind of like a high point where everything's building up to.
Yeah.
And she's just like, helicopter crash. Explosion.
But like the thing is, like that happens, right? And it could have been a massive point and it just gets brushed under the rug. It never talked about at the end of the movie. Like it's just like a thing that happens. Oh, this is normal. Crashing in Canada and appearing back in Seattle like nothing happened.
Yeah,
it's insane.
It's fucking stupid is what it is.
It's bad writing.
Yeah, yeah, legit. That's a 14-year-old girl writing right there. Yeah.
I got about 3 more quotes for you.
Hit me up.
Because there's a fuck ton, all right?
Yeah.
Christian Grey goes, Houston, a week ago. She says, what'd you buy? He says, an airline. Ooh, this is when they're shopping and she's like asking him what he's bought.
Yeah.
Like, have you been shopping lately?
Yep.
Fucking says he's bought an airline. What a wanker.
She's like literally grabbing like cheese and milk. He's like, yeah, I bought an airline. Like, shut up.
Shut the fuck bro. Up, man.
Stupid.
Fucking do one, you dumb cunt. Yeah. Here's another back and forth they have.
Nice.
Anastasia. He's my boss, Christian. You gotta calm down. Christian goes, calm isn't really my forte.
He's such a nerd.
What was up?
Where is this coming from?
It's because I told you, she doesn't know how to write an actual man. No man is going to talk like that.
I feel like the writer was doing things while writing this story. There's no way you can concentrate and say, this is a normal conversation between people. No, not at all. Like...
This is how she pictures a man to talk because she's not talked to a man
ever.
Like, she has no experience. So she's like, this is what my ideal rich boy husband would be like.
And setting, talk about setting the standards as well. Yep. This fucking movie as well.
Two words. Pussy beads. That's how she wrote it like this. He's right. Yeah.
She's experienced.
Yeah, that's right. That's fair enough.
She knows what the beads do.
The brains.
The brains behind the beads.
The master of beads.
The bead warlock.
Master beater.
Pretty good. That's good.
All right, last one. Then we can stop talking about dumb fucking quotes. All right. Christian Grey. I keep going to say Christian Gay. Fucking hell. Christian Grey says, I hope you're not a sore loser. She goes, that depends on how hard you spank me.
Oh bro.
Ooh-wee.
That honestly gets me steamy.
I think that was in the pussy bit. When was he spanking her? That was the pussy beads moment, right?
Yeah, it was.
I don't know why I did the action, but...
Was it?
Also, the spanks as well, if we're talking about realistic spanking, he really wasn't, like, getting it in, like, going there. It was like...
He built up. The first one was like, you know, like a 10-year-old type five.
I really thought you were about to you're about to moan then.
No, but, like, the first, it was, like... A light one, yeah. Then like a mid-strength one, and then like, yeah, he went a little bit in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, he's trying to be a different person. That's the whole plot of the film. It's like, he's like, I'm better now. I'm not going to like beat the hell out of you.
Essentially this... The
but
plot
she
of,
wants that.
Yeah.
So like, okay.
Essentially the plot of this film is just Christian Grey edging the entire time.
And learning That's how to is. Not beat women.
Yeah, pretty yeah. much.
Because he finds it boring to not... Beat
women?
Mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he wants to beat women who look like his mum?
Who the fuck writes this shit, man?
She's this writer. That's all I could say.
Look, we gave a lot of... On our past episode of Human Centipede, we gave a lot of shit to the writer there as well. But you know what? This is almost on par. This is fucked.
It's like pretty fucked when you break it down
When
like
you
that.
Break it down, yeah.
But like, I feel like this is almost worse because the Human Centipede... It has like its own kind of thing going on. It's not like it's sort of sexual, I suppose, but it's not like only sexual. It's kind of just a weird concept.
It's a whereas they're like treated like animals, the people in that movie.
Yeah.
It's more like it's the doctor trying to create this Frankenstein weird fucking shit.
And
but,
like it reflects less on the author because it's not like they're gonna actually potentially stitch some guy's mouth to some chick's asshole.
Yeah.
Whereas in this film, this chick could potentially... This could be something she enjoys, like just kinky shit.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
why she's writing about it. It's more likely that she's into this sort of stuff because she's writing about it, I feel.
Yeah.
Whereas, the author of Human Centipede is definitely not doing that.
No.
Well, we did... Remember when we were talking about... obviously he's not doing that, but... He's still a fucking crazy dog.
He did write... He wrote that porno, though, didn't he? He has directed a porno.
What was his name again?
Was it called... I swear it was called, like, Gay in Amsterdam
That's what it was called.
Really?
Verbatim. Something like that.
Yeah.
I botched the name slightly, but it's pretty much on brand like
that. I can't remember the name of the director. I can't remember his name.
Todd Phillips? No, he directed The Joker and The Hangover, but
we can get back to
He's a good dude.
But
he's
basically, that's right. Like this, the chick who wrote this basically is just into this sort of stuff. You can just tell.
Presumably,
yeah.
That's my scientific
analysis. We can assume, yes, as a sexologist, you know.
We haven't even talked about Anna's boss, the blonde dude who tries to. That scumbag.
That scumbag.
I didn't put together that that's sort of harking back to the first film where Grey is her boss.
Because
I couldn't remember that.
I actually don't remember that either.
Yeah. He was her boss at the start, and then she left the company, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if you're making that up, though.
I'm pretty sure I'm correct here.
Well, if you're correct, then it's sort of like a callback to that.
Yeah.
But then she's like, don't touch me. I don't know, he was trying pretty hard, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's just like hard, rapey vibes.
Yeah,
what was up with that?
That came out of nowhere, he's like, alright, I'm the boss rapist, pretty much. Just this happens to all the secretaries.
He turns into a villager.
A villager.
turns into a villain.
Get on your hands and knees.
Oh god.
No, legit. He did turn into a villager. At the end he did. Oh no, he kind of turned into a bit of a like a witch at the end. Yeah, he was like very a lone wolf. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. I don't know. He was just fuck. It was just came out of nowhere. He was a villain.
He was a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crackhead bitch. No, we talked about her, but she smashed up Anna's car. Yeah. It was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good point of tension there in the film. I got to say, like, you know, you're coming home from a hot date and you're, whoa, there we go.
A hot P. Diddy party masquerade. Yeah. What a fucking stupid thing, mask party. Crazy parties, that they. Right?
I hate it so much. Like, just don't wear a mask. It looks weird. Why do rich people do that? Don't you want to see all the other beautiful rich people?
They do it because they can go, ooh, I can do heinous things behind this mask.
I can still tell who you are.
I haven't seen the movie Eyes Wide Shut, but that's basically apparently what that movie is.
And then didn't
it's a Kubrick movie?
Didn't Stanley Kubrick die like 7 days after test screening?
Yeah,
conspiracy.
A Hollywood conspiracy that they killed him.
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh, also, so they say. We should dive into that.
Next week. Yes.
How did Kubrick die?
Yeah. That's Curtis McGarity. Yeah.
That would be a good historical thing. I'd be down.
It would be.
Yeah.
We should get you on. We said this last time as well, but we should get you on for some historical stuff as well. Because you're not just a sex aficionado, you're a historical aficionado as well.
Probably more accurately a historical aficionado.
Yes.
I definitely know more about my history than sex. It's easier to learn about history than sex, to be fair.
Yeah. But that's all right.
Yeah. Trousering.
Oh! Finally.
Trousering. Would you guys ever trouser?
I thought it was just going to end it there. Fucking hell.
That was it. That was it. Done. No scores. That's it. It's finished.
Trousering. All right. That's a wrap.
Every sex scene, every bit of sex that Christian Grey does... I think he's just scared of having his butthole exposed for fear of being penetrated.
Yeah.
Because he just has his pants up. Like, you can see the top of his crack. It's just, that's all he exposes.
Slips a dick out the top and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, trousered. Or jeans for the first one.
Let your balls breathe, dog.
Yeah.
Like, please.
I think maybe here is a theory. Here is a game of theory.
Okay.
He does show her his no-no zone of... You can't touch here.
Yeah.
But I think maybe he also meant his butthole.
Whoa.
It's not shown. He didn't draw that because that would be weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he's clearly not letting the pants off, he's nervous about his legs and his butthole.
You reckon he got pegged by that blonde woman?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, because she was a dom and he was a sub.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah.
I'd consent to that from her.
Yeah.
I mean, when in Rome.
When in Seattle.
Yeah, when in Seattle.
Yeah, that's more accurate. Yeah, no, I think you're onto something there. Egg. But also, maybe he's just trying to be a fashionable guy. He's like, man, I fucking look good in these trousers.
Was trousering popular in the 2010s?
I think it must have been. People must have been trousering left, right, and center. Otherwise, just Grey, he's onto something.
Also, if that's not on Urban Dictionary, someone should put that on.
Trousering.
Do it right now.
It's 100%
right. We'll put it on. We can put it on.
That's effort. Let someone else do it.
I looked it up on Urban Dictionary that night.
Cooper Wilson put it up on Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. Has he put things on Urban Dictionary?
He can learn. Cooper
can
learn.
That's your mission, Cooper.
Yeah. So shout out Cooper Wilson.
Shout out.
Damn.
Oh, I just got a sweaty waft there.
You fucking reek, cunt.
Sticky bitch.
All right. I
got nothing left. Honestly.
I have one last thing that we need to go through before we can wrap up and stop talking about this god awful film.
Oh, please.
We need to rank the sex scenes.
Fuck yeah.
We do. I'm gonna read through them all.
Yep.
With my family right now.
100%.
Thanks. We're here.
And then I need you to rank them. I'm going to go with Curtis first and Scott.
Okay.
I'm going to stick out of the ranking.
We can do that. We are well equipped.
I feel like I'm licensed. After my crush chat, I'm not well equipped to rank the sex scenes.
Okay, all right. I respect that.
Okay, so the first sex scene is in Anna's house at the start.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just a very vanilla style one. That's when the crackhead chick sees him like sleeping and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, she appears for a second.
Yeah.
But it's like she hallucinated that though, because she closed her eyes. Like, she blinks, essentially, Anastasia, and then she's not there.
Nah, what I reckon it was real.
What if she didn't hallucinate it, and she was just in the closet?
I reckon she was, because...
Took her to my penthouse, and I freaked it.
Well, that was in Anna's house.
Yeah.
So, she broke into Anna's house later on, so it makes sense that she could have got in.
Yeah.
I would give that sex scene a 4 out of 10, because it was boring.
You?
I'll give it a 5, because it was average bland.
Average bland.
Yeah. Although... 4 points for the trousering, though, because that's my favourite thing in this movie.
It's much more respectable and Christian than the rest of the sex scenes.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah. That was your nice one. And that was, like, less than 20 minutes into the film, I feel.
Yeah.
No, it was 12 minutes, I'm pretty sure, exactly.
Oh, that's right, because I got us to stop it.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Because I was like, it's only been 12 minutes.
Oh, they're already fucking...
It's like 5 minutes ago, she's like, I'll never get with that guy again.
If the third movie doesn't open with a sex scene, I'll be disappointed.
When the Universal logo's happening and they're fucking on, like, America, the whole country or something. Fucking on the U.
You just hear the eagle.
All right, so 4 and a 5.
Yep.
Next one. At the P. Diddy party with the pussy balls and she gets spanked. That's what I've written here.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a lot more spicy.
It is more spicy. Yeah.
I probably more like a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10.
I'd probably give that one maybe... You know what? I'm just going to copy it, bro. I think it's sitting at about a 7 as well.
Because it was creative.
It was creative, yeah. And the lingerie as well was thrown into the piece.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Two words, one meaning. Pussy, balls. We know what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is like 2.5. Okay, so I'd say this is a half sex scene.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
In the yacht shower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's scrubbing off the border marks of his no-no zone.
That's right. Yes, yeah, yeah.
I'll give that a 1 out of 10 because it was just like, they're having a shower.
Yeah. See, I'll give it a 5 because it's back to the normal relationship style stuff, which is what she was after.
Yeah, it's true.
So I'll give it a 5. It's normal human behavior.
I rate that.
Yeah.
Alright, this is technically 3. When Gray uses that device on her to keep her legs spread open.
That was a bit fucking weird, that one. That was...
Yes. See, this is where... Basically, how you gotta understand my rating system is how much of a damn degenerate they are. Alright? And so, it gets higher as the degeneratism goes, because it's kind of kinky, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. This is definitely an 8 on the kinky scale, because that's fucking wild.
Absolutely. You know what? I'm going to give this one a 6, though, because I expected more. I thought more was going to come out of this scene. Yeah. Thought it was going to be more graphic.
Yeah, it's fair.
So I'm going to give it a 6.
This is 3.5. Lift scene's just an honorable mention.
That's a 10. That's a fucking 10, that scene.
Pretty good.
I reckon that's the best. That's almost the best scene in the movie.
Yeah, fingering her in the lift.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's I think that remains at 8 because it is kinky.
Yeah.
It is kinky. It's maybe I don't think it's more kinky than the fucking leg spreader machine.
No, it's not. Yeah.
It's kinky. It's less extreme, but it's more of a different kind of kinky.
Yeah.
In public.
Yeah.
So I'll give that an 8.
In close proximity to that old bloke.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
That's kind of hot.
And, like, he's so smooth. He's like, I'm going to tie my shoelace. Nope.
Boom.
Boom. Straight in there for the kill. Who ties their shoelaces for that long? I mean, I do tie my shoelaces.
No, he stood up. That's why he stood up.
Yeah, but, like, he was down there for a while. There for a while.
Double knot, mate.
You know what? That's a good excuse.
Double knot.
Yeah.
And for in the red room where he puts Diddy oil on her. Fuck, we've said Diddy a lot in this podcast.
I think, look, on the kinky scale, that was probably... There wasn't, like, anything crazy about that. It was just like, well, she was tied up and stuff like that.
He's tied up, put oil on her, and then fucked her.
Yeah, but it's
that's pretty crazy.
It was the beat drop, though. That's
where it happened.
That's where it happened. Yeah. So I'm honestly, I'm going to give that one a 10 as well, because that it's in the room. You've hit the climax with the climax. Bob's your uncle. Go on a town. Go on a pound town.
I'm really not happy about the beat drop penetration because...
What do you mean, bro? It's a classic.
It's impressive, but is that really the style of writing we want in a film? I guess it makes sense for what the film is, but I just... As soon as... you can't not laugh when you see a dude thrust and it's just like... Bound, the beat drops. I'm giving that one a 7... Yeah, so
a 7. That's honorable. That's honorable.
That's honorable.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kinky, but it just pissed me off.
Well, that's all the sex scenes. That's all I've got to say. Do you have any final notes, Curtis McGarity, sexologist?
It's a terrible film. The sex scenes, however, they're good enough. It's just really awkward and hard to watch. Like, the music makes me want to vomit. The actual, like, dialogue that leads up to the sex is not realistic. But the sex itself, I mean, like, it's not bad. I can see it's a four women type of film. Yeah, so we're not the target demographic.
No.
We're not.
I can see this is a sex scene that a woman might want to watch if they were real kinky.
Yeah.
So.
That's fair enough. That's a fair analysis right there, I think.
It's a way to wrap it up in a neat package. Yeah. And let's get onto some trivia.
You should be a regular on this podcast.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Fuck, we'll get him on next week.
Yeah, get him on next
less,
week.
Less sex, please.
Well, speaking of sex, Dakota Johnson revealed for their pre-game ritual before filming sex scenes, she and Jamie Dornan would do different things. She would have a glass of whiskey. Dornan would do push-ups. Dornan always said they had a private conversation among themselves to work out the scene between them. So they had pregame. I don't know if whiskey and shit. I mean, some of these fucking scenes weird. I don't know how you'd.
I wonder if she was in a relationship when they were doing that.
Are they? Is that close to foreplay though? Whiskey, push-ups. I don't know. Something's fishy.
He's getting sweaty, and she's just like, I can't deal with this.
Also,
drinking her sorrows away.
Pretty much, yeah.
I just. Imagine that you're doing some of these scenes and an entire crew of 20 people or 30 people are watching you.
Honestly, that has to be one of the hardest things to do in film. Like, you're exposed out there.
Yeah.
Having to do that. And I think as well, though, with these sort of scenes, they condense the crew down into, like, smaller... just, like, whoever needs to be there is there. You don't have, like, the caterer.
It's not like bring your kid to work day.
No. You don't have, like, the on-site... Oh, no, you might have the nurse there just in case someone has a heart attack while on top of the other person. And you're like, fuck, can't get them off.
It has, like, a snap direction or something.
Oh, true.
Happens.
Dangerous.
Jamie Dornan joked that he did not like doing too many scenes with the co-star, Eric Johnson, who's the boss. He said that Johnson was too tall and didn't make him look good. So even in real life, he's a fucking Christian Grey cunt. Like, he's...
Yeah, well, you know, he did seem pretty lanky, and Grey is, like, only slightly taller than she is.
Yeah.
So I can see that.
I can see that.
Mm.
But yeah, so, but he really is embodying the character here. So yeah. he was just, I haven't seen him in any movies other than these.
Nah, me neither.
He's a bit of a nerd.
Fucking nerd.
Last bit of trivia. In the scene after Christian's chopper goes down, you can see E.L. James, the original author, in the background behind a reporter. So she makes a cameo.
Oh, okay.
Fucking...
I hate this writer, man.
I can't stand her.
I honestly... That's so dumb. You write this and then you're like, yeah, I want to be a cameo in this film. Get a life.
Yeah.
And in one of my stupid scenes as well.
Yeah. The worst scene... She... You know what? I'll take her out. She clearly needs a bloke because she doesn't know what it's like to talk to a man. It's freaking me
needs
out,
needs somebody to just calm her down.
Just take her to a nice restaurant so she can
treat her right.
See what real life is like.
And lower those expectations, you know? Not fucking buying an airline company and stuff like that.
Go somewhere nice like Five Guys or something. Actually, just treat yourself.
Classy.
Just go to Hungry Jack's, you horny dog.
Letterbox time.
Yeah, whoa.
Dan says he bought her an iPhone when he has an Android. Green chat bubbles are a new form of BDSM punishment.
Accurate.
Yeah. Like, we were saying how much, like, you were saying, like, how much you hate, like, seeing the text stuff in movies when people are, like, text, and it's like,
that is 2010s. That is solid 2010s stuff. Just,
and especially with, like, the noise that come, like, the notification sound.
It's just like a soap opera. I just felt like I was watching The Young and the Restless. And they phones out.
And there was some Bold and the Beautiful scenes as well, like the, especially with like the interactions between Christian Grey and like the what's his face, the lanky dude, the boss. When they're in the bar and stuff like that, having the drinks. We gotta go. I'm sorry, bae.
They literally just walked in. He's like, "We're leaving."
Out of here.
Out of here.
So dumb.
It's crazy.
CW Merrifield says, "The Chronicles of Riddick poster in the back really pushed me over the edge. I was already having a terrible time."
It's true.
That's crazy.
I couldn't believe that.
He was a hardcore Riddick fan. That's nuts. I guess the author's like a big fan of Riddick as well.
Of course she is, because she's over the top.
Yeah.
Fucking checks out. Sarah says, "This deserves an award for best comedy. Oh my god, he didn't spank her properly, and who the fuck has BDSM sex for a few hours after a helicopter crash?" One star.
Yeah.
He didn't even recover. And you know what? I think he had sex with the chick who was in the crash.
Why they crashed. Right. It was a cover story.
100%.
Absolutely. True. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he already cheated on her with that crackhead chick, so, you know. He's probably bound to do it. Checks out.
It does check out.
Well,
what else checks out? Scores.
Score time.
Oh yeah.
Of Bros Knows Best.
Oh, wait, you know what? It's crazy. It's gonna get it's gonna be hard to get used to.
Yeah, we've
but it's something we had to do.
We're still doing Nugs. So, I mean, I'm happy to go first.
Good.
Please.
I'm giving it a higher score than my last one for the last film. 2 nugs out of 10.
Ooh.
For 2 pussy beads.
Yeah, 2 pussy beads out of 10.
Well, I'm right there with you. I'm also giving it 2 nugs out of 10.
Wow.
Okay. It's hard because, regrettably, I think I gave the last one a higher score than I should have. On retrospection, it did not deserve what it got. This one, however, I might give a 3.
Yeah.
It's slightly better than the last one. It's a little better, but this doesn't mean I recommend watching it.
No, please no, absolutely don't. Not. I mean, it's a 3 out of 10. That speaks for itself pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming on the pod, Kurt, and delivering your expertise. It's been a pleasure. I hope you were pleasured.
The pleasure is all mine.
And we'll see you on the next 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades Freed.
Oh.
Kill me.
And that was another episode of Bros Knows Best.
Ugh.
That's right. If you enjoyed this episode, then you can check us out elsewhere. Can't you, Scott?
Oh, you betcha.
You can check us out on YouTube.
Spotify.
All podcast platforms. That's probably where you just listened or watched us then.
Yeah.
But we have social platforms too, don't we, Scott?
We do. Like Instagram.
Oh my god, TikTok.
Oh, it's insane.
And YouTube Shorts. If you like us, follow us there. We've got content, we've got episodes, and we'll see you guys
soon.
No, that's when you say next week.
Next week.
Fucking Jesus.